Broadcasting from 3.4 miles above the surface of the Earth, this is episode 22 of Defenders of the Mirth. Sorry, Erica.
A lot of loyalty for a hired gun!
Perhaps he was wondering why someone would shoot a man before throwing him out of a station.
At least you can talk. Who are you?
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan. No one cared who I was until I put on the mask.
If I pull this off, will you die?
It will be extremely painful.
You're a big guy.
For you.
Getting caught part of your plan.
Of course. Dr. Pavel refused our offer in favor of yours. We had to find out what he told you.
Nothing. I said nothing.
Well, congratulations. You got yourself caught. What's the next step of your master plan?
Crashing this station with no survivors. No, they expect one of us in the wreckage, brother.
Have we started the fire?
Yes. The fire rises.
Newsman in the Soviet station, bringing news and weird information. Trying to stay alive in the troposphere. Didn't matter anything but copyright legislation. Forced to make one the all exhortations. Beaming the brand of mirth to the listener's ears. The fitness of the mirth they haven't dealt with in years. The two and only can't defend the film within years.
And we're back again.
Woo!
Yay! Hello, James. How was quarantine?
Oh, it was dreadful.
Sorry about losing the keys.
It's fine. All is forgiven. All is forgiven. Welcome to the Defenders of Mirth podcast. I'm your host, Above Average J. James Story.
And I'm your co-host, Cosmic Stress Head, Ben Smiley.
And I'm your low co-host, I may have used that joke before, Intertree Johnny Kelly. Welcome to the Defenders of Mirth podcast, anyone. So, what have we got?
You usually just say stuff, and I usually just make fun of it, so.
Alright, okay. Well, we seem to have started a wee tradition of talking about comments from the last week's episode. We'll have a wee look here. Yeah, we got a response from Bob about us playing his clip last week. He said for a second he thought we were going to play his entire episode of the Lolcast as our podcast, and he said he was okay with that. But he did make mention that his terrible sound quality just seems that much worse when compared to our functional sound. The thing about that is the functional sound that was heard last week was the result of a lot of work. It took me 12 fucking hours to fix that problem.
And you're fucking joking me. 12 hours?
Well, yeah, it was a lot of hard work.
You mean you spent 12 fucking hours to produce that 50-minute load of garbage last week?
Now, Freddy, I wouldn't call it garbage.
All right, then, shite.
That's not what I meant, and you know it.
Christ, I'm almost ashamed to be on your show now. The only thing that's redeemable about it at all is that above average one, and you even fucked up having him on regularly. You're a fucking disgrace.
Well, you're a fair use fairy, Fred, and I understand the urge to criticise, and I almost accept it. But, I mean, it's a bit too obvious to criticise your own show, isn't it? I mean, you're really reaching here. You're really reaching pretty low.
I'm reaching low. You're the one who fucking wrote this bit for the show.
Well, forgive me for trying to be a bit meta here.
Yeah, but that's the thing though, isn't it? Everybody's trying to be fucking meta these days. Where's the fucking talent? Where's the actual work? Where's the creation of a story? Or the expression of an idea? Everybody's trying to be clever, you know, post-postmodern and all this fucking crap. I mean, where does it stop? Where do we end up? We end up with fucking layers upon layers of self-referential bullshit that doesn't make any sense. Fuck.
Well, I suppose you make some good points there, Fred, but can we just get on with the show? It does take a long time to do.
Alright then, get on with your fucking show. Not that it's worth anything. Not that you're worth anything. Not that any of this is fucking worth anything. You got less than 50 listeners for fuck's sake, and I bet you most of them are you.
Well, I think that's probably the best I'm gonna get out of you. Thanks, Freddy.
He's Freddy, the fair use fairy,
Okay.
I got another message from Bizarro Emiage as well. I will not use his name again because I want to save beeps. It's a pretty tough economy we've got these days, and beeps are scarce on the ground, so I'm going to call them.
We don't censor our swearing.
I know, exactly. That's exactly why. I mean, you got to use them sparingly, and only in cases where people don't want to hear it.
We swore this week? We haven't swore yet.
Freddy has?
Freddy swore quite a bit just now.
Freddy the fair use fucking fairy.
Exactly, he's not fucking fair use bastard.
How it?
Yeah,
I like to be the one that drops the F-bomb at the start of every episode.
Oh, I am sorry, James.
It's fine. It's fine.
It's almost like this is
as long as someone swore. Yeah. Now I can move on to my next objective: hurting people's feelings.
Ah, right. Okay. Well, that's good. That's good.
Did you go lined up on that agenda?
I was just gonna play it by ear.
Fair enough.
I did speak to Bizarro Emiash, and I asked him if we could use his full name in future, and he said nope. I said I might do it anyway, and he said, you might hear from my lawyers.
Did you inform him that he probably doesn't have any lawyers? Does he have lawyers?
Well, I said I'll take that chance. I was trying not to be boxed into a comedy dead end. And then he said, I'm a comedy dead end. Gee, thanks. And I said, well, you know what I mean. And he said, I'm just a joke to you. And I said, if you let us reveal your true identity, you could be so much more. Don't you see that? And he said, nope.
Fair enough.
Fairly wrap up, kind of circular.
Yeah, so it's pretty annoying.
So what are we talking about this week?
Oh yeah, well, the other thing Bob got back to us on was Half-Life 3. I asked him if there was any news, and his response was, Half-Life 3 is on our minds. It will be made. We assure you, it's something we've considered and approached. We do not want to rush it. We have nothing but the utmost respect for it and its fan base. It will happen. And then he said, just replace Half-Life 3 with a dozen other games and we'll be done with the PR work for the year.
Half-Life 3, by the time they make it, we'll all be geriatrics. We'll all have our own gravity guns by the time they make that game. I think Valve were too busy trying to take over the world.
I did say that the bit of boilerplate PR work would have been perfect for all of the time that Defenders of the Mirth was off air, and I said I'd keep it saved for possible future use. Not that we're going anywhere, of course. We're here. We're staying. We're not going away. Are we, lads? Are we going away?
I'm not planning on it. I'm not planning on it.
Ben might, if he gets a gravity gun, he might accidentally.
Portal gun. It'll be harder to hide that as incidental.
Well, it'd be handy having both sorts of guns. Like, I'm not gonna lie, at some stage I'd probably get curious and try and use the gravity gun to masturbate, and it'd be just good to have a portal gun to shoot it into.
Where would it come out, though? That's the question. You could just put it on the outside of the station and just have it fly out onto the ground below.
Yes, true. I don't even know where I was going with that. Anyway, no, I've got the list up. Let's see what we're talking about now.
Yeah, well, since you're back, let's cover some of the topics you wanted to talk about. First one was J.J. Abrams directing the new Star Wars. Now, I'll first correct you on the name.
It's, Abrams?
Yeah, Abrams, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. It's just that whenever...
I probably didn't say it right last time.
No, you didn't.
I want to say Abrams, because that's how I always say it, but it's Abrams. Oh, well, the man is going to be in charge of both Star Trek and Star Wars. The man is literally living... Well, basically my dream life.
So this isn't the crossover no one asked for, this is the crossover everyone wants?
No, I think we can all agree that Kirk would kick everyone's ass. Like, the Millennium Falcon looks like a piece of crap compared to the Enterprise. Well, we can all see what side I stand on anyway. I quit Boys Brigade because it clashed with Star Trek The Next Generation.
I have my standards there. Good, good man.
There was nothing else compelling you to leave Boys Brigade. There was nothing sinister going on. It was all for the love of Star Trek.
Well, to be fair, it was all sort of dark uniforms, berets and things like that. It did look a bit like Hitler Youth.
I spent some time in the BB. I didn't go into the senior section. My brother did. He got a lot of sashes, and he marched quite a bit. Luckily, it didn't affect him too much.
Yeah, it was when they got to the book burning, and sure, he decided he'd had enough.
And the banning of all dancing in the town.
Well, I think that was for the best, really. All that dancing. But no,
I certainly have a lot more time these days for other things. I'm not going to dance. Anyway, carry on. I'm going to stop talking.
So. No, don't stop talking, Ben.
You're like a co-host in the show.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to talk.
Oh, okay. All right, fair enough.
What you do is, while James is going on about his rants and talking about the things he talks about, just ask him key questions to direct his thoughts.
Yes, so that some actual information gets out instead of me going, oh, it's all shit. It's all terrible. No, it's really, really good news. I can't think of anyone better to do the job than him. He even admitted when he was making Star Trek that he really was just making a Star Wars movie. So,
see, I read an article, or I started to read an article, and then just copied the headline because it was interesting. It said that it was behind-the-scenes information about this, and it said that J.J. Abrams didn't want Star Wars.
J.J. Abrams is the sort of person, like, there was a big, big gap between Star Trek and Star Trek Into Darkness, which is coming out a year. Like, it was almost 3 or 4 years, which is a long time in modern sequels now, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of time, if the first movie's a hit, they pretty much immediately start on the sequel. J.J. Abrams is the sort of person that likes to go on and make his own projects, because he made Super 8, which I absolutely... Yeah. Super 8.
I did not like Super 8.
You didn't like Super 8?
No. The monster in that just seemed to be... Right, that monster, his job... Well, he escaped and he declared himself as persecuted by humans and he just wanted to escape, right? And everybody understood him and then they just watched and he was happy with him going away. But the thing is, in order for him to tell people that he was being persecuted by humans and that everything was their fault and he wasn't really a nice guy, he had to string them up, you know? String them up and brainwash them into his side of the story. It seems a bit too sinister for me for it to be... just as nice as it seemed to be.
Yeah, it wasn't as
It's sort of like reverse Planet of the Apes, though.
And then they just watched the... reverse what?
Reverse Planet of the Apes.
Oh, right, yeah, like, yeah.
You watch that and you feel for Charlton Heston, and you're thinking, oh, these stupid monkeys are treating him horribly, and they're spraying him full of water, and he's being treated as if he's just like a lesser life form. So when a time comes for him to start shooting some monkeys, you know, you're sort of okay with it.
Yeah, well, you've always got to vilify one side so that you're okay with their death.
The simple fact was, we were the villains in that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose it's supposed to be an allegory.
If you'd watched it from the aliens, if you'd recast the entire movie where it was a human trapped on an alien world and sort of spent years and years and years torturing him, and then he had to get out and start cobbling together his own spaceship and killing a couple of them, it would have been a different film. You might have felt more for the alien's plight.
So you're saying because it was an evolution of our planet, it made it the other way around?
Basically what I'm doing, Johnny, is calling you a racist.
Oh! I didn't get that.
In the nicest possible way.
Because I'm a racist because the aliens brainwash people into believing that they should be there.
How do we get?
I don't see how that's racist.
How do we get on to destroying Super 8?
Because you were saying that Spielberg went off to do other work.
If you're gonna destroy a movie that J.J. Abrams or Abrams.
Oh yeah, sorry. You were saying J.J. Abrams went off to do other work.
Yeah, if you're gonna destroy a movie he had any involvement in, start with Cloverfield. Because I thought that was dreadful.
Oh, Ben likes Cloverfield.
I did like Cloverfield.
I was the one that quoted the term Cloverfield.
Oh, good man.
Well, you say he's...
That's a good coin.
You say you were the one who coined it.
Have you ever heard that? I invented that. Like, I came up with that 10 seconds after watching the movie.
No, Ben's opinion was it was revolutionary filmmaking. It was something new, and I thought it was rehashed bullshit from the Blair Witch Project.
It was like a mixture of the Blair Witch Project, which is a dreadful movie, and the American Godzilla.
Ben, defend your point.
If you mash those two movies together, that's, you get Cloverfield.
Ben, defend thyself.
Well, the thing that impressed me about that film was that they didn't show what the whole fucking monster was until they were above it. They didn't rely on the looks of the monster, they relied on the interplay of the characters to portray a whole new dimension to their fear, which I thought was interesting. Because usually it's just sudden jump after sudden jump after sudden jump in a scene.
I liked an aspect of it. There was a moment in the film that was very interesting, which is the guy saying, I don't want to come out from behind the camera because I feel safer behind the camera. I feel more... That's an interesting point, but then it went too far. They continued to hold the camera in very obscure situations where having the camera pointed at what was happening would be the last thing on your mind. It would be completely irrational and you wouldn't know what you were pointing at. You'd just throw it at the ground or you'd chuck it around and then pick it up later, maybe come back for it. But like whenever the woman explodes.
At any point in that film, isn't feeling safer behind a camera irrational anyway?
No, but that's the thing. I can understand they are... No, but I'm saying you would be irrational, right? And I'm saying that part of your rationality at first would be to be happy behind the camera, but that would extend as things escalated further and further to a point where you would just, fuck the camera, I'm going to die, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I'm defending a point that I don't actually believe in. Yeah, yeah, I would agree with you there. That it was ridiculous. And the fact that...
But out of all the unrealistic bits, the finally go... They go through all that shit. They get their way to the guy's girlfriend, only to find her impaled by this giant iron bar. But she seems to basically be able to function.
Spoilers.
Quite well. They just remove the giant bar, and she appears to function quite well for the entire rest of the movie, even going so far as to probably survive that helicopter crash at the end.
We should write a fan. I'm going to say fan script for a prequel in which she is an android from the Weyland-Yutani Corporation.
Just
to explain that one little bit.
If I made the movie, it would be unfilmable because I would have already bludgeoned the camera guy to death with his own camera about 10 minutes in. film would be about 10 minutes long.
Stop filming this shit! Stop filming! Theo, this is actually happening right now! What the hell is going on?
The car just exploded!
Posterity? Posterity? We're all dying? There's no posterity? The whole planet's gonna be taken out? Who are you filming this for?
No, it would just gotta cut to a sequence taken from a news copter camera of me feeding the monster the guy with the camcorder shoved up his arse.
Oh, yeah, that would be an interesting twist to the film.
Indeed it would. So yeah, Star Wars.
Yeah, apparently most of the original cast have signed on to be in it. Well, not...
As not themselves, though, or as themselves.
As...
Their older selves.
Yes, the older versions themselves, yeah, so that's... Alright, that's not necessarily a good thing, it sort of should really be... I don't know, I would have preferred a bigger time jump.
Yeah.
But then again, it depends how far they're going into the future, and...
It depends how old it is.
They're looking to do a lot of tie-in movies. There's talks of Zack Snyder doing a sort of Jedi version of the Seven Samurai, which will somehow tie into it, Avengers, Marvel style.
What? What?
Yeah.
Aren't they two completely different universes?
Yeah, well, it'd be Seven Samurai. No, but they're talking about a sort of Seven Samurai story, but with Jedis.
Oh, right, so like a homage or a parody of that?
Yeah.
Alright, okay.
I don't know. I don't know if we consider it a parody, but, you know, it might be laughable.
I suppose we're burying in the lead on the story, though, and if most people who would listen to this show, the target audience at least, would know this already, but George Lucas has pretty much no more involvement with the script writing and the day-to-day filming of a Star Wars film.
See, that's one of the exciting bits, because he wrote all the prequels with help,
yes,
and
did.
They were all fucking dreadful. No, the exciting bit is, one of the consultants and the guy scripting the second movie is a fella called Lawrence Kasdan.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone that knows anything about the Star Wars movies and all of that, is Lawrence Kasdan is the guy that scripted and wrote Empire Strikes Back.
Ah, which many people believe is the best film of the series.
Not many people, right people.
I was listening to someone argue that the first one was the best one, and that everybody who believed the second one was the best one was just wrong.
So where can I find this, cretin?
I'm trying to remember who it was. Their point was the first one had all the elements of a classic story, you know. Well, Mark once said it. The first one was essentially the Knight's Tale. It was the Holy Grail story.
Yeah. I have to disagree with Mark on this one. The first one, I understand the first one was the one that laid all the groundwork and it's the reason there was Empire, but Empire was just generally the best.
Oh, I think
Empire's the only one that I could probably go back and watch now.
Really?
Yeah. Jedi's not bad, don't get me wrong. Jedi has many positive points, but... But... I know. I still find Jedi pretty hard to watch.
Is it the Ewoks, James?
I don't even mind the Ewoks so much. I don't know. You know what bothers me? I know you can get the original version now, but when I watched the special edition, they changed all the Ewok music.
Yeah.
I remember it differently. And then I always have this jarring moment whenever they go back at the end to the Ewok village and it's different music, because I remember the sort of nub-nub. Nab-nab-nab-nab music, and that's the music that I remember. That's the music I saw when I was watching it as a kid, and then they changed it, and then they do the ghostly bit at the end, and there's fucking Hayden Christensen.
I know, that was a weird thing to do, to bring the younger characters in.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Take me however the fuck you want. They de-aged Darth Vader to look like Hayden Christensen. Yet, they didn't feel that, like, Obi-Wan obviously wasn't fucking vain enough to de-age himself into Ewan McGregor. You know, that doesn't make sense. Either de-age them all, or just keep them the way they were.
It makes more sense to keep them the way they are, because that's the way they were when they left. It seems weird that they regress back to their youthful times.
No, the alternative was having Anakin appear in his scarred, limbless form.
No, but they had the actor that played the actor that played Darth Vader's face.
Yeah.
I'm told or informed that he was a pretty decent actor for his day. I think nobody they got to play that
part. I think
part.
He was a farmer. Well, that's the lore I've heard. I don't know if that's true.
Mm.
Plus, did the Jedi's not have a concept of hell? Like, yeah. The dude literally spent the last 20 years of his life. He was like the project manager on a device that destroyed an entire building, yet he gets to be happy in all ghost form and shit like that.
Not an entire building, James, an entire planet.
Well, a planetoid.
Ah, oh, planetoid. Well,
small moon.
That's no moon.
Well, I think the whole point is that which side of the, you know, whether you're on the dark or light side more at the point where you die, and that determines what the force will do with your energy.
In addition to that, the prequels introduced the idea that fucking Qui-Gon Jinn had to learn how to converse with the force. Like, it wasn't something that every Jedi could do, and then Darth Vader dies, and he's just able to do it.
Hmm. Yeah, but Senator Palpatine had been training him on how to keep people from dying, and so forth, so maybe that was part of his training, I don't know. That particular little trick.
I don't know. Palpatine's just a prick. But why did they just not throw Qui-Gon Jinn in there as well? Sure, just have Elden Dead Jedis there. Samuel Jackson with his big fucking... Like, who asked to have a purple lightsaber? It's obviously an allegory for his penis.
Well, maybe if they got everybody in, they could have a barbecue in that final scene.
True.
And they could be dancing to the new music and just really destroy your childhood.
Oh, I fucking hate the new music. And the musical number they added to the Jabba the Hutt scene. Oh, that was so unnecessary. And then George Lucas
I think
I always intended to have a musical scene in there. Well... Thank God you couldn't fit it in the first time.
I think it was to try and make another Cantana scene. Yeah, but they added music to that too.
Did they?
I think there was another performance, wasn't there, in the Cantana?
Oh, yeah, I think you're right.
And who shot first? Who shot first, ladies and gentlemen?
I love what Family Guy did with that. They did their sort of remakes of Star Wars and stuff like that. Yeah. And they had the Cantina band. It's like, so, here with the Cantina band. Do you want to hear the play? It's like, play that same song again! Okay then!
Yeah.
But that was pretty good. Didn't change that though, did they?
Well, no, but...
Although they changed, they made
it longer and they made her sing, I think.
They made Guido shoot first.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Who shot?
It's like, what's wrong with Han shooting first? Well, like, Guido was obviously going to kill him.
Yeah, it dehumanizes him. It makes him less of a sympathetic character, James. Yeah.
Like, why would Guido shoot first? Guido was there to get his money and to take Han in.
Yeah. I have a feeling.
I didn't understand Guido's motivation for shooting first.
It was to make him more the villain. See, it's not about the motivation in the script. It's about the relationship with the audience. And that's where George Lucas went wrong.
It's just dreadful. If you went back and watched, like, one of his original movies, like THX 1138, what a fucking dreadful piece of shit that was. I'm surprised anyone ever let him make Star Wars. American Graffiti's not so bad.
I'm surprised they let him continue the franchise. Have you seen the Christmas special?
Oh. Oh, where Princess Leia sings the fucking Star Wars song with, like, words?
With words?
How do you write words to the theme from Star Wars?
What are the words?
I know. Every time I remember about that, I go back and, like, watch bits of it again, and then I must instantaneously blank out that memory and have to go, it's fucking dreadful. Oh, you know what, good, though? The fucking... Not to stop swearing so often, but you know the Ewoks movies? Did you ever see the Ewoks movies?
No. Sadly, James, the reason you're the talent is I am nowhere near as good quality a nerd as you.
I remember being like 8 or 9 and going to the video shop and watching them. Like, I think it's Ewoks and an Ewoks Return to Endor.
No.
They're absolutely magical little movies.
Oh, I remember those.
Yeah, they were brilliant. They didn't need a big budget. Some family got stranded on Endor and they ended up living with the Ewoks and then...
Aww.
I think his parents died or something like that, and then he ended up finding this, like, kindly old man in the second one who took him off Endor. And...
Yeah, I don't remember the details of them much, but I do have warm, fuzzy feelings when I think of them. They were nice.
You have warm, fuzzy feelings when you think of Ewoks?
Yes, but that's not what I was saying.
It is what you said.
When I think of the films.
Oh.
Yeah, they.
So you like that kind of thing? That
gets me all wet.
That kind of, like, film.
Like, there's a whole thing for that now, Johnny. It's not the freak show it used to be. I think it's called Fuzzy.
Furry.
Sorry.
Furry, that's right.
Yeah. It's funny, I knew the term.
Yeah, sorry. Yes, it is. The first one's called The Ewok Adventure, and the second one's called Ewok's Battle for Endor.
Battle for Endor, not Return to Endor, then?
Most people don't even know these movies existed. I think it did it okay.
So, Star Wars, J.J. Abrams, George Lucas, gone. Life is better.
Yeah, I believed in God for a few seconds when I heard that news. Just for a few seconds. It wasn't all it's cracked up to be, to be honest.
Okay, so, James.
Yes.
Ben Affleck. No, I'm making mistakes now. Ben Affleck. He got shafted at the Oscars.
Yeah, but they made up for it by making it best movie.
What?
Yeah.
Which film is this? Because we're not in the loop.
No, we're simply not as good a nerd as you.
That's not a nerd thing. It was Argo.
Oh, well, then that's not nerdy. And I'm pretty ashamed I didn't watch it now. Actually, I humble myself to you, James, and I beg for forgiveness.
They made it best movie, even though it didn't get nominated in any other category. Like, how can it be the best movie without having the best actors, the best director, the best screenplay? Like, that doesn't even make any sense.
Well, maybe it's in such a league of its own that it doesn't need to have the best of anything else. It was simply the best.
You know what it was? It was just Hollywood's jealousy. They didn't want a talented, handsome young man like Ben Affleck to go up and get Best Director. They're just bitter because they're all weirdos with beards.
In an episode of Community, they talked about Ben Affleck being very bad, and they said that it was unfair that he got an award.
Well, fuck them, because Ben Affleck's a man. You ever seen The Town? The Town is a brilliant movie.
The Town, that's exactly the film I was trying to remember. It is brilliant, yes. Agreed.
What's The Town about?
Boston bank robbers.
Oh.
It's very, 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 very good. You should watch it. This is the guy that co-wrote Good Will Hunting, probably one of my top 50 movies of all time in there. He co-wrote that.
That's cool. Alright, okay.
He won an Oscar for that.
Okay.
Whenever he wrote that, everyone probably thought that he just stuck his name on it, because, you know, everyone thought Matt Damon was the talent. Well, Affleck learned him. Sure, he wasn't too good at picking the scripts. Like, Armageddon was a pile of crap. I'm very much in the camp at the summer blockbuster season where they had the two meteorite movies. The Deep Impact was a much better movie.
Yeah,
I never saw Deep Impact, you know. I watched the other one.
You want to watch a good movie about a meteorite? Watch Deep Impact. It's a much, much, much better movie.
I think I might stick to Russian car cams.
Russian car
cams. Did you not see any of that footage?
Yes, I did see that.
Yeah, that was amazing.
It really was.
Apparently my niece saw that on TV and then immediately rushed outside to see what was happening.
Aww. Isn't that cute?
Only to be disappointed to find out she was in Bangor.
That happens to me every morning. Yeah, Deep Impact is the only film that I've ever gone to the cinema on my own to see, as far as I remember.
Oh, I've been to many films on my own in the cinema, but that's because I'm a lonely, lonely drunk. No, I don't drink.
I went to see one film by myself, and that's because I got into an argument with my girlfriend at the time, and I just got so annoyed that I went out, and then I realized that I didn't know what to do in the middle of my hissy fit. So I went to see Inside Man, and got really into it. But it got to the stage where it was about half an hour to 45 minutes in, where I felt really, really, really bad about taking so long, so I had to go home. It took me 4 years to watch the rest of that movie.
No association of guilt?
Yeah, I just was sitting in there, and for some reason, my feet had taken me not to the decent cinema, but to the really, really, really expensive one. Odeon.
It was because you wanted to stroke your ego there, you wanted to feel better about yourself, you know?
Yeah.
Plush surroundings.
And it's just, it was a really, really good movie. You know, once you start watching it, you have to see it all, but apparently my guilt was so much that I couldn't.
Do you feel like you were in some sort of hostage situation with your guilt?
Yes. But then again, I'm a man ruled and destroyed by his own guilt.
Did any sort of friendly, helpful cops come along to talk you down from your guilt?
No.
Maybe that's what's missing in this world.
You know what it was? I went to that Odeon cinema and it was so expensive that I couldn't afford the popcorn and the Coke. So maybe if I had snacks, I could have saw it through.
Comforting. Is the path the
I think I could make a decent argument that was hunger that sort of drove me home. What a weird, weird day. But you stuck it out, Ben. You saw it all.
I saw it all. Unlike one time I went to see The Kingdom of Heaven with Mark, mm-hmm. and about 30 minutes into the film, I turned to Mark and said, holy shit, I was only supposed to be going to the shop for my aunt and then had to go home to cook dinner for her.
Holy fuck, how do you accidentally go to the cinema instead of the shop?
Yeah, sometimes I like being a complete buffoon because it leads to interesting stories like that.
Okay.
I just bumble my way through life sometimes. I don't know how that happened. Anyway.
But Mark is one of the best people to go to the cinema with. I still have fond memories of going to can't remember the name of the hotel. Me and Mark met up at this hotel and ended up getting absolutely shit-faced and then going to watch X-Men 2.
drunk cinema watching, that's an idea.
Yeah. When in all reality, you should have saved that drunken trip to the cinema for X-Men 3, which was a much worse movie. Director Bryan Singer has promised to fix all the problems in X-Men continuity with the new X-Men movie, Days of Future Past.
But don't they always promise, James?
Yeah, but this one actually has time travel in it. He can actually fix it.
This sounds like a job for time travel.
Retcon!
Yeah, that's right, the big retcon button.
It's time for an alternate timeline!
This segues me into my next topic of conversation, which is Dr. Octopus being the new Spider-Man.
Yes, what the actual fuck?
We've teased this for 2 weeks, James, and we didn't do any research, so please tell us.
Right. Basically, what has happened is Doc Ock was dying. Might have something to do with, you know, not immediately going to hospital after having 4 robotic arms surgically welded his spine as part of a nuclear explosion. Eventually that caught up with them health-wise.
Yeah. You should really get a regular checkup after something like that.
I know. He must have had such severe back problems.
It's like, oh, my sciatic is playing up.
I know.
That was maybe the cause for his anger. He'd never admit it, though.
But anyway, Doc Ock had decided to build a mind transfer device and basically transferred his consciousness into Peter Parker's body and vice versa.
The Jeff Goldblum
Peter's consciousness went into Doc Ock's dying body, and Doc Ock's consciousness went into Peter's body, and then Doc Ock's body died.
Oh, shit.
And then Doc Ock had access to all Peter's memories, and somehow this has affected Doc Ock's
perceptions and things like that. I was going to say, do they go to the idea that the person's brain chemistry is what makes up their personality, and he can't survive in that sea of memories?
No, they sort of haven't went so far yet, but basically Peter's personality seems to have reactivated itself as a ghost.
Oh, so it's
based on his memories. And the memories themselves are affecting how Doc Ock's doing things. Doc Ock didn't just immediately turn around and, you know, it's like, I got this new Spider-Man body, which is so much better than my own. I'm going to become a villain and use all these things. No, Doc Ock sort of seems to be doing the right thing, but using his sort of cold German efficiency. Like, he basically created, like, thousands of spider-bots that basically sit around Manhattan and then, like, text crime to him using a mobile phone app. I shit you not.
But if you've got the spider bots, why not use them to do the crime fighting? Why have them just be text machines?
Oh, I don't know.
He hasn't got the latest version of the Arduino board.
He just needs that module.
I wonder if it's an official app on the Apple Marketplace. Or did it the jailbreak his phone? How ironic.
I know. The crime fighter breaks crime. Actually, no, the Librarian of Congress did sign off on that and said jailbreaking an iPhone's fine. So he's got his loophole. It's fine.
It's fine. But it has touched on some interesting things. Like, Peter and Mary Jane are no longer together thanks to the One More Day Deal with the Devil retcon. But Doc Ock basically decided, you know, when he was in Peter's body, it's like, how did he ever let this supermodel go? Doc Ock tries to sort of, you know, and you basically have Doc Ock perving on Mary Jane and really lecherous thoughts and things like that. But Doc Ock, basically calling back on Peter's memories, eventually comes to the conclusion that Peter himself was normally too stupid to realize, was that they were not really compatible as a couple. And then basically Ock has a moment of realization and breaks the cycle of them getting together and getting back together.
That's a pretty grown-up theme.
Yeah.
So. That's probably very useful for a lot of people who read comics.
I think that,
you know what I mean? There's got to be a lot of people that are trapped in things that they just want to make work, and then it's not going to work.
I didn't hate it as much as I thought it was reading it. I thought it was going to be, oh, this is going to be dreadful. I'm going to be watching, because they killed Peter Parker in the Ultimate Spider-Man universe, which I had a lot of time invested in, and that really annoyed me. And then I thought, well, at least I've got main universe Spider-Man, who's still Peter Parker, and then he became Dr. Octopus. It's like, oh my god, where am I going to get my Peter Parker from?
So the Peter Parker they killed off, was he the Black Peter Parker?
No, they killed off Peter Parker and then replaced him with a black kid.
Yeah.
And I've actually since read that, and that's very, very good.
Yeah, because you were making the argument, I don't know if it was recorded on an episode of our show, but you were making the argument that it was a bit racist.
I made the argument that people were using racism as an excuse Like, you couldn't disagree with the creative decision, because anyone that disagreed with the creative decision was immediately branded a racist.
Hmm. So, have you come around?
No, don't get me wrong. I still was really upset at the decision. I had been reading that comic for 10 years, and I had become invested on who that version of Peter was and where it was going. I basically got to watch him grow up, and then I felt robbed as they killed him. But I've read Miles Morales is the name of the character. And I've read a couple of that. In fact, I actually, right next to me, have a crossover book where Peter Parker meets Miles Morales in a sort of universe swap thing.
James, I've just realized something again.
Uh-huh.
You're a show note generating machine.
Well, that particular comic book's called Spider-Man.
Thanks, man. Thanks. That helps. I mean, everything else I'll have to work out myself, but yeah.
that was very touching.
That's good.
That was very good, because it had normal Marvel Universe Peter go into Ultimate Universe, and he got to go and say hi to Auntie May and Gwen Stacy, who was a girl who was Peter Parker's first girlfriend, who was killed in real Spider-Man Universe, and he got to say hey to Gwen and stuff like that, so that was pretty nice.
Oh.
Even though she's like 15 in that book, so bit weird.
way to ruin a perfectly nice thing there, James.
Please. Everyone's heard my rant on E.T.
Did we ever record that? We'll have to come back to that someday. PlayStation 4 announced. It's quite a while ago now.
Yes. The first console announcement where they don't actually show the console at all.
No, that's not true. I've done some research on that. Whenever the Xbox 360 was announced, they talked about some of the things that were coming. They did not show a console, and then they moved on.
Wait, would disprove me, Johnny? This might be my area of expertise.
If you get into technology world, that's sort of my bit.
No, I'm actually very excited about this. I never thought I'd be excited about a PlayStation, but I guess owning the Vita has opened my eyes, and I absolutely love the Vita. This week, I've been playing... They released an HD remix of Metal Gear Solid 2, a game that I remember getting when I worked in Burger King as like a 17-year-old, and it being like the best game ever and the best graphics ever, and now I can carry it about in my pocket and it looks better than it did when I originally played it.
That's lower resolution. You just give me flashbacks, James, to you working in Burger King and us going to tech. I feel old. I feel very, very old.
What? I still remember the time that Andrew Telford, or you can bleep his name, I don't know where it is.
No, we're not concerned about people we bring up, we're only concerned about people who talk to you.
I still remember our regular trips to Burger King and the time that you went in and bought 10 £1 McDonald's burgers, plain. You bought the cheeseburgers, it didn't just do a standard burger. Can I have 10?
Yeah, it was Irish double cheeseburger.
You bought the cheese, and then you ate them all, and then you threw up on the way back to tech.
Jesus.
That was a long time ago.
And a galaxy far, far away.
That was when me and Mark were going through our phase of talking about the Book of Dean, which was a Bible written by former professional wrestler Dean Malenko, which was only made up of one page and had one statement in it, which was, "You must fear the cloverleaf." Which was basically his finishing maneuver was a submission move called the Texas Cloverleaf.
But was there a wrestler called Goldust, or did he have something?
Yes, Goldust.
You lust for Goldust?
Yeah. Well, one day because I went to school with Mark. Mark was in my maths class, and he nicked Mal's exercise book off me without my knowing, and then put it back on my desk. And when I opened it up, every single page had "You lust for Goldust" written on it. Yeah, I
Mark
didn't.
For a quiet fella just can bust out this comedy genius. I thought Mark.
Actually, since we're talking about quiet fellas in general, BP Paul Head in a Jar has made a quick review. I say quick, it's about 5 minutes, but he's made a wee review here of SimCity and his experiences over the last week. He's also going to describe a bit what SimCity's like, which I think most people know, but at the same time, it's kind of nice to get an overview.
Yeah,
so
he picked a good time to do it. If he tried to review it on day one, he wouldn't have got much of a review in, because it would just have been a review of him looking at server down screens.
Yeah.
Because that game had notorious launch issues, because it has to be online all the time.
Indeed. Did you listen to our last episode, James?
No. Not yet.
Yeah, because we talked about that. I'll play Paul's review. Here we go.
Greetings, Smartlings. This is Head in the Jar, Paul McKee, bringing you a little review on SimCity. SimCity has been out since the start of March 2013. It started off with lots of server problems, and lots of people complained that they couldn't get logged on. I waited for about a week before I bought the game, and I didn't really have any server issues. The first game I tried to log on to, I didn't get through, but half an hour later it was fine, so no problems there. To apologize for the server issues, EA have given their customers a free game on their Origin site. You can choose Battlefield 3, Mass Effect 3, SimCity 4, Need for Speed Most Wanted, Bejeweled 3, Medal of Honor Warfighter, Dead Space 3, or Plants vs. Zombies. Quite a good list there. You could definitely have hours of enjoyment playing any of those titles. I was looking at the store, and they range from £7.50 to about £20, so not a full refund, but some compensation. I think I will play Dead Space 3 and finish off the story of Isaac Clarke. It should be interesting to see if they've stuck with the cinematic approach of Dead Space 2 or the fear factor of Dead Space 1. I'm intrigued to see that. So back to SimCity. Been playing it for a while, have created four cities and deleted them simultaneously because of too many residents taking up too little spaces, people becoming homeless, traffic jams everywhere, run out of money, and just general chaos. I spent $64.99 on the Digital Deluxe download. This brings five add-ons for your game. Mainly it brings tourist hotspots to your cities, so you can have the Eiffel Tower, Big Ben, the Brandenburg Gate, or there's Plumbob Park. That's wrong, but something like that. You also get the Heroes and Villains set, which gives you the villain Dr. Vu, or the heroic Maxis Man. With them, you get their own buildings, then different upgrades for them to do their jobs around your city. I haven't really got that far into that sort of story. It's a lot of money that you have to invest in them for, it doesn't seem much payout, but I shall keep going and see how that goes. So, with your cities, once you're finished one city and you're happy with it, then you can move out into the regions and claim another city. And the whole idea is that these two cities work together to supply electricity, water, waste disposal, all these things that make a community work. When your region is up to a good strength, you can work on great works sites, such as an international airport, a space center, or even planning your own fusion reactor. And obviously this is going to bring in some nice money for your cities and make your residents very happy. Then whenever all that's said and done and you just want to have a little bit of fun with your residents, you can bring in the disasters. They've got a fun UFO attack. UFOs come down and abduct your residents and take them away for a little trip. Then you've got a twister that can come through and rip apart all your hard work. Then earthquake and the meteor shower. Again, haven't really seen any of these, haven't got that far in the game, but very interested to see the devastation and the chaos that those leave behind. After playing the game for a while, I've noticed myself, whenever I'm out in the space shuttle Silica 1 driving around the streets of Bangor or Belfast, I notice me looking at road layout and buildings, and why some buildings are knocked down to build apartments is because the more people that you get into your town, the more people pay money towards your town or city, and it's an interesting idea. Then whenever you see disposal trucks going around as well, you think of your little city and your little computer. All fun. Really enjoying SimCity. Spent hours on it. You can lose yourself in building towering skyscrapers and watching your residents go to work, come back from work, and having a smile on their face whenever they get home and see that their house isn't on fire for once. It's all good, because their mayor has built a fire station. The always online thing is interesting. Doesn't really bother me that much, because I'm always connected in the space station anyway, so as long as we have no broadcasting problems again, then everything should be fine with my cities. The online stuff's good for friends, though. With the region set up, your friends can have cities around your region, or around their region, and you can all help each other, then work on those great works sites. It's a real-time environment as well, so if your friend's on playing, then they can send reinforcements, as in fire trucks or police cars or ambulances, to come help out your city if you're maybe just getting started off and if you need money and stuff. It's a good server community thing to have, all building towards great works. So yes, this hopefully will be the first review of many. You will hear my voice again. Hopefully it doesn't annoy you too much. And if you want to follow me, I am on Twitter at DOTM @Clan. I will be talking about games that I've played, games that I'm looking forward to, and maybe getting on and playing games with some of you folk. Thank you for listening, and back to the Defenders.
Bye!
Yeah. Fucking love his theme music, Johnny.
He came up with that himself.
It's almost as if he understands.
So that's where all our budgets went. Yeah. So that was a trifle unnecessary for us to fork out for the orchestra.
Oh, yeah, I'll come back to that. But, yeah, so some of the things that he mentioned there. He was saying that you get happy residents from having a fusion reactor in your city.
Yeah. You know they're building a fusion reactor?
Where?
In California. It was basically, it's a array of something like 2,000 lasers bombarding one atom, trying to create a micro sun, like Spider-Man 2.
And Dr. Octopus?
Yes.
So, are we going to see a new Spider-Man come out of this project?
Well,
might see a second sun come out of this project. That'll be fun, won't it?
Or the big crater formerly known as California.
Yeah. Yeah, they never got the big one.
It's not too late. Lex Luthor can still succeed.
Swim.
That's right, that was the plot of Superman 1.
Oh, yeah.
And he Superman Returns.
Yes. Yeah.
So dreadful.
We have a bit of art reflecting life in that SimCity now has meteor showers, although it probably had before, but it's now more relevant with recent events.
I hope there weren't meteors from Krypton. Can you imagine Russian Superman?
Oh, Jesus. Oh, yeah, Superman Red Sun. That actually is a concept out there, isn't it?
Yes, written by Mark Millar. Mm-hmm. Well, Mark Miller, but it's spelled A-R.
That's how Miller is spelled.
No, it's E-R, mostly, traditionally.
Double L-E-R?
Double L-E-R, oh, well, yeah. His double L-A-R.
Is this going to be an argument about Michelle all over again?
No, never.
Okay. Anyway, yes, and my family has Millers in it, and they spell it A-R.
Ah, right, okay. But, yeah, good quality mayorship, you know, putting out fires, making sure to have fire stations there, having people not have to come home to fire, that's a nice thing.
I would love to play SimCity again. I must build some sort of rig capable of playing it. I still remember my most successful city, Pigfuckerland.
Was it successful because of the tourist industry?
Well, it was successful because I built a big mountain in the middle of the city and I put the mayor's mansion on top and called it Mount Doom. And then built a giant moat around it and then removed all bridges towards it. And I was very cruel to my people.
But how did you get supplies in the mansion?
I don't know.
Dirigible from
France. Sherpas. Just a constant stream of Sherpas.
That guy from Everest, maybe?
Yeah.
You're just climbing up every day.
I had to order my dinner 4 days in advance because it took them that long to get to the summit.
So the Sherpa guy from Everest, did he pick up some dead bodies along the way?
I hope that wasn't what was in the steak tartare last night.
Well, you know, nothing should go to waste.
The amount of time people put into properly managing their city, and I just managed it just enough so I could build a mountain and put my mansion on top.
That's why you're the talent, James.
I was so cruel with my minions, my underlings.
It led.
Although to be fair, I didn't have that much fun with a game until The Sims came out. I think I should be credited with being co-creator of the Saw franchise. I think that was basically based on my experience with The Sims.
Oh, gee. Oh, man. Did you buy a clown mask?
No, I was just in my room in my underwear.
Oh, like me?
It was much, much filthier.
Paul also mentioned in quite an expression of warning that there should be no more broadcasting problems with the Defender of System Earth.
No more broadcasting problems?
Yeah, he says he wants his connection to the city to go on as long as possible so that he doesn't end up with chaos in his hands. We have people to save. We have people to keep alive.
I mean, I just have to be on that exercise bike all the time now. You can laugh, but I didn't smear shite all over the solar panels.
I think that was incognito.
Oh, that's why it's green.
Why would his shit be green?
Why would it be on the solar panels?
So, the other thing Paul mentioned is you can hit up your friends for money whenever you want.
That's what I do.
That sounds like real life.
I think games were meant to be a form of escapism, not just an extension of my own life on like a larger scale.
Ah, dear. Paul's review. It was quite decent. It was nice to get an overview of the game, and it was good that he's enjoying it so far. He got a free game out of very little negative experience. I mean, that guy sort of perfectly aligned himself. It's a shame he's got no body, but at least he's got a neural interface and he can play these games and take his mind off his lack of any real life.
It's true.
That's not true. He's a full and active intellectual life.
Well, he does pioneer neural interfaces with the shuttle and the games that he plays, so I suppose he's got that behind his belt.
Well, there's a lot of people with full bodies that aren't that productive, or at least spend their free time, like, you know, there's a lot of weirdos out there, right? Supernatural, erotic fan fiction. Those people need help.
Those boys from Supernatural are pretty hot, though.
I know, but they're also meant to be playing brothers.
That makes it all the hotter. For me. For me.
It is a good show, I do love Supernatural.
Keep forgetting my girlfriend listens to this show now. She's going to be asking me to do all sorts of things. Anyway, carry on.
What, she'd make you dress up in a leather jacket and refer to yourself as Dean?
Yeah, paint my car black.
Well, it could be worse. She could make you wear a fake mustache and call yourself Bobby.
I don't think I'd like that.
Roll it about the flat.
Pretend I don't have the use of my legs.
Oh. Try all you want, darling. I'm not feeling a thing.
Did I get that right? Is Bobby character?
I don't know. I think Bobby was in a wheelchair, then he got out of the wheelchair, and now he's dead. Sorry if you haven't seen that far in advance, Erica.
She does listen now as well. It's quite amazing.
Yeah, Bobby's dead now, so... Now you know that.
Spoiler alert.
A bit late. Put a spoiler alert sound effect at the end of the show.
No, don't. I want her to be listening to it and Ben to be there. And then just all going along. And then this wee smile appear on her face. And she's listening. Oh, they're talking about me. And then it just slowly go to like... As I've just spoiled a bit of Supernatural for her.
Yeah. I once got slapped by a very camp gay man for spoiling part of the plot.
Don't tell us the rest of that story, Ben. Just leave that bit in.
I once got cracked in the balls by walking down the street in Edinburgh by a... I'm trying to think of the political correct term for it. Special needs person would be the way. That was weird.
One day...
For that life, bit of my life is spackmash.
This reminds me of an inappropriate joke that Paul and I came up with. He had a body and we lived together in a hard light form down on the planet. It was to do with the game Special Forces.
Oh dear God.
I'll leave your mind to imagine what we came up with.
Answers in the comments.
If you've got any ideas of how Special Forces could be represented by... Let's not go that way. If you want to leave a comment at all on the show, though, do. If you want to call us out for being racist, evil, negative bastards and rail against us and try and save society, comment on our show. It'll only take us down. It'll only serve to weaken us.
The show that's not worse than anything that's on 9 o'clock on BBC Two.
Oh, I thought you were going to say BBC Three.
Or Dave now.
BBC Three is the home of all things experimental.
Magic number, Johnny.
Three... As a magic number.
My favourite weapon in Battlefield 3 is the spaz. Anyway, carry on, sorry. That might have been funnier like 10 seconds ago.
Speaking of inappropriate humour and sexism, racism, well, we didn't speak of sexism, but we're about to. We gotta hit the trifecta here. But luckily, it's not going to be us that are being the sexist ones. What happened was, in the last week, Samsung has announced the Galaxy S4 phone.
I was excited, Johnny. Were you excited?
I'm excited by all things technology. It's why... Well, anyway. Yeah, so it released the Galaxy S4, but they seem to do it in the form of a Broadway musical show.
Oh, wow. I thought you were joking when you told me that, but I looked it up, and you weren't joking.
No, the thing is, they had characters. Characters of women in this thing, they had an idea of what women want, and I'll just play you one example of some of the dialogue that's in the Broadway show about the new Galaxy S4.
Looks great. See you tomorrow at the rehearsal dinner.
Another great feature is our air gesture. It allows you to navigate the phone without actually touching it. With air gesture, you can fast forward or rewind, move apps around, look at photos, even browse the web. All with just a swipe of your hand. And if you're working in an email or browser, you can move your hand vertically and the page behind the one you're viewing will appear.
Why would you need that?
My nails are wet. Sticky fingers. Sunscreen.
I really don't want to put down this drink.
Okay, I see where it might be useful.
Yeah.
Oh, dear God.
How the fucking bus here a second. If you're holding a drink in one hand and a phone in the other, you're using your third hand to do this gesture, are you?
Well, you might be breaking the third hand.
Wait a minute, is that not the fourth?
Hey!
fair. That was really, really, really bad.
Yeah, I've got some other examples.
The only way that could have been any worse is, like, I would use my phone properly, but my vagina gets in the way. It's just like, what?
That's not really very useful when I'm switching between windows of my porn collection.
That's more of a male statement.
No, no, that was a female statement. Did you females say... wank too. It's a controversy.
Sorry. All right, hang on. Sorry about this.
It's fine. While we're waiting for this to go up, I can inform you that Mark Twain invented the clip that goes on the back of a bra.
The back of a what?
You know, on a bra, the clip on a bra.
He invented that?
Mm-hmm.
Bastard! I mean, good man.
Yeah.
That's not true.
It is true.
Wow, okay. Where did you read that?
No, my dad told me earlier. And then I looked it up, and it was true. So there you go.
Yeah, no, that's interesting.
pH is an inverse logarithmic representation of hydrogen cation concentration.
I'll cut that out, don't worry. I've got another example of it here. A bit of sexism malarkey from Samsung. Here we go. So here's another example of their sexism.
While the women are cooling off, tell us about S-Health. The Galaxy S4's numerous sensors track the amount of exercise you get and can calculate your calorie consumption so that you can get healthier and make better decisions. It's one of the new features that truly makes the Galaxy S4 a companion for life.
It can tell how many calories I've burned off walking throughout my day. I love it.
What if you're walking while eating cheesecake?
You're only cheating yourself, Dee Dee.
And with accessories like S-Band, body scale, and heart rate monitor, S-Health gathers information about sleep patterns,
heart rate, exercise,
and weight. Darn it.
And if it's right for you, you can get accessories that will connect with your phone and monitor your blood sugar and blood pressure levels, and as well as save that data.
My mother always dreamed I'd end up with a doctor. I bet she didn't imagine this.
The Galaxy S4 is never a replacement for a doctor, Kelly.
You're such a party pooper.
But it's definitely a handy supplement.
Were there no men in this production apart from the host?
They did have a bodybuilder type with no shirt on come out while they were demonstrating the pause the screen while you look away feature.
It is getting worse. It's like they opened a portal in the 1950s.
Only the attitudes came through.
That's right. Send your good woman off to find your phone. The Samsung Galaxy S4 now emits a sound that only dogs and women can hear. Making it easier for the little lady to find your mobile phone.
Well, here's since this is going so well, let's listen to another example of their empathy with women.
And a doctor doesn't come in a variety of attractive cases in different styles and colors, like my pouch, or Tiff's flip cover, or Jenny's protective case, or Dee Dee's awesome S-View cover. Show them your S-View cover needs!
Very nice.
Did it give Dee Dee a healthy slap on the ass after that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who are they? Who's the audience here?
Well, it got 500,000 live views on YouTube while it was going on.
Dear God. I'll have to go back through Twitter because there's going to be some hilarious commentary to go along with this. It's awful.
It's pretty bad. But, you know, stepping away from sexism for the moment.
Aww.
Yeah, I know. It's a shame. It's a pretty funny topic. I mean, it's not very nice and I don't think it was the right thing to do. But, you know, it's got us covering it. Not that we're influential in any way. But I had a nightmare the other day.
What was that?
I haven't had a nightmare in some time. It was quite a strange experience. Well, I was...
The nightmare about a world in which there was no sexism at all to laugh at.
That would be horrific.
It would.
Actually, I'll come back to that. No, the sexist angle, though, the thing about that, people were talking about Sony's announcement being sexist, and they were talking about Sony's announcement being sexist because there were no women on stage presenting the information about the PlayStation 4. Do they look sexist now?
It's not as if they were, like, talking about their new controller and went, wow, this controller is now so good, even your girlfriend will be able to play, or anything like that. You know, it wasn't...
We've updated our trophies to be cupcakes to make that all authentic feel.
Wow.
I love a cupcake, but I've got to watch my weight.
I think there's such a thing as going too over the other way, where by trying so hard not to be sexist, you can come across as being sexist.
Well, I don't think they were trying hard not to be sexist in that scripting.
I don't know, I never heard that complaint that because there was no women on it that was sexist, you know, or any other complaints about, well, there was no black guys on it, so they were obviously being racist.
Well, yeah, I heard about that sort of media backlash from Bob's podcast, Low on Lifecast, at lowonlife.com. He was railing against it himself, he was saying, I mean, what would you rather? Would you rather someone come in from an office that had nothing to do with the creation of the game or the creation of the console and just sort of talk nonsense for 20 minutes? You know, if they don't understand it, they're not part of it. Just to have a figurehead out there, do you know what I mean? Is that your idea of not sexist? Just bring somebody who's not skilled in the thing over?
Sure. Ubisoft, one of the executive producers on Assassin's Creed, is this really, really, really hot girl. And then they would bring her on to talk about Assassin's Creed, and it was obviously apparent that she knew fuck all about the game.
So it was just their female quotient?
Yeah. But then again, you know what the problem is? Gamers, we live in the real world, okay? Hot girls don't play games.
I don't know.
You do get exceptions, but most of the time, it's just people like yourself.
But I think it might be sexist to say that hot girls don't play games.
All right, well, it's in general life.
I would say the majority of gamers are men.
Yeah.
But
I think I've maybe only met one or two attractive women that play video games in comparison to the vast, vast, vast majority of my friends.
Yeah, but how many of your male friends are attractive male friend gamers?
Not many.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe there's a whole sea of unattractive female gamers out there that we just don't pay attention to because we're sexist.
No, but what I was getting to, my point was...
Oh, sorry.
I think men are inherently... I think gamers, not just men, I think gamers in general are inherently suspicious of a non-typical individual talking about games.
Oh, so someone of an exceptional quality, someone of great fame or attractiveness?
I think Jessica Chobot in IGN. I've been part of conversations discussing whether or not she's actually a gamer or just a pretty face that IGN have used to just give out all their news. You know, and I think I saw her mention it, although I couldn't be quoted on it, about people mentioning the fact that they don't believe that she's an actual gamer. And to be honest, I don't know whether she is or not, but I think there's an inherent suspicion that she may not be just because she doesn't look like a typical gamer.
I would say maybe to begin with, they thought we need to get someone here to appeal to the largely male audience. We'll get an attractive female in to be the talking head for the program. But I think with anything that actually has some good value and is entertaining, I think maybe she started off that way, but then learned more and more to enjoy what she was covering and got more and more into it.
Well, that's quite possible, but at a time when, particularly now, when a lot of games, consoles, and a lot of companies seem to be focusing towards casual gamers, which is basically just everybody, and there's a big backlash within the gaming community talking about how console developers now aren't developing towards hardcore gamers or going to casual gamers. Sony were trying to make a statement, or basically they were trying to say, look, this is a hardcore gaming machine. Hardcore gamers will want to play this. And I think it seems to have come across that that's the sort of show they were trying to appeal to hardcore gamers and thus not have anything in there that was overly forced. Like anyone that saw Microsoft's announcement of the Kinect, people talk about that as being cringeworthy because they had families on and small children come on the stage and playing like that, and that felt very, very forced. And I think Sony were just trying to avoid that.
Hmm.
So they got the people that were best qualified to talk about the games.
Yeah, but then the media backlash as a result of that was Sony are sexist, they have no female talking heads, they got no one there representing women in gaming, and it's...
But that's basically, what percentage of the games industry is female?
What I would like to do is ask for comments on this in the show. So if you go to the comments section at the bottom of this episode, if anybody wants to bring in their view of female gaming aspect, there's one person in particular I'd like to ask about that, and it's Aidzo, someone I know from back in the day, who is an avid gamer herself, and I'm sure she'd have a lot to say on this topic.
You know, it's just, it seems to be, the modern entertainment industry seems to be mostly male-dominated, and a lot of people, I don't know, I've seen arguments 2 and 4, like DC Comics, not recently, but within the last 2 years or so, or last year, got a lot of criticism for not having a lot of female writers, and basically their counter-argument was that there's not a lot of female comic book writers out there.
In general, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, so it's fair enough to call Sony sexist, but how much of a percentage of games developers in particular have female employees?
Well, Paul's position on this, I talked to him about it earlier, he was saying that Microsoft announcements do tend to have a lot of female announcers come out during that.
But that feels very forced, because the normally the people that they're getting to do it, I like anyone that's watched the videos that they have, Xbox has their own content on Xbox Live, and the Kinect area of Xbox has a female presenter, this lady that presents their videos and goes through their games and stuff like that. And just the way she talks about games and the way she talks about them, she's not talking like a gamer. She's like a salesperson. She sounds like she looks like PR.
Well,
rather than somebody that knows games. And don't get me wrong, GameSpot, I can't remember her name. GameSpot have a presenter on their videos on Xbox Live who's a female, and she seems to play, you know, the way she talks, she comes across as somebody that actually enjoys games and actually plays games.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't mind more sort of people like, you know, I'd have no problem with her talking, you know, getting up on stage and talking about a game. I just don't want, people want to be talked to, people want to talk about games that people don't know about games. They don't want to talk about games with somebody that's just on a PR firm.
No, exactly. I agree.
Yeah.
There we go.
I have nothing to add to that. You've pretty much, like, spoken everything I would.
I think anyone that's picking holes in it is basically looking for reasons to pick holes in it.
Which I don't think we're doing.
To them.
Which I don't think we're doing with the Samsung Galaxy announcement. I think that is plenty of evidence.
Oh no, if I think it's bad, then it's bad.
It picks holes in itself, yeah.
It's not as if there was anybody that was, I'm a busy female businesswoman. You know, it was all, my nails, and...
Yeah.
Christ, that was in fact cringeworthy.
But then again, they've obviously done their work in many ways. Now, this is a presentation put on from, like, a South Korean company. Let's not forget, Samsung are Asian. Maybe it could be a cultural difference.
I did think about it, because they're doing it in a New York Broadway theater, and they wanted to go with the Broadway style, and it may be that someone came over from an alternative culture, and they went with all the cliches they could think of from what they know of Broadway culture and style. But at the same time, in thinking that, it's almost kind of racist to think that they wouldn't know contemporary art.
Oh yeah, no, but what I'm saying is, this is very much consistent. I'd be a person that would watch, you know, I'm a big fan of Japanese cinema and anime and stuff like that, and that sort of presentation would be very consistent with the way that they would perceive media. Did you see the video about the J-pop star?
No.
Basically, there's this all-female J-pop group, and it was signed in their contract that they were not allowed to stay over with their boyfriends. And basically, she did. She was caught. You know, she'd been over to her boyfriend's and stayed the night. And in a sort of act of subservience and to show how sorry she was, she put a video on YouTube of her shaving all her hair off and begging for forgiveness.
Wow.
Okay. Like, it was, I did see the article on BBC months and months ago, and that was, you would never see a Western pop star go through that. Britney Spears shaved her own head and went mental and had two children with a deadbeat hick.
I think that's because her hair, that's where she got her power.
I'm just saying, it could be cultural.
It could be. The guy who was making the announcement at the beginning was definitely from, which country is it, South Korea?
Yes.
Well, he was definitely from Asian origins, and...
Yeah, and hadn't really been over in America for very long, it seemed. He wasn't, like, working over here, I think, because his English was a bit incoherent.
Mm. It's difficult to comment on things without sort of branching into racism, sexism, or inappropriateness, because a lot of things are a bit weird and funny, like that guy's voice at the beginning of that introduction. It's difficult to reel yourself in and not feel guilty about thinking things are funny.
Which is why we like Bob.
Yes, this is why we like Bob.
So you had a nightmare?
I did have a nightmare, Ben. It was a terrible nightmare. It was a couple of nights ago. I'll just go to the end of it. I was in a cafe with Noel, one of the friends of the Mirth, and someone walks in, and it's like a guy, like a hoodie character with a scarf over his face, and he's got this can of something or other, it's like a liquid or a gas, and he sprays it over everyone in front of me. I'm lying on a settee watching people sitting around the cafe table. Split second, look away and look back, they're all covered in foam and seem to be drowned in it. Then the guy comes over to me and starts spraying at my feet. I'm underneath some sort of rug and I'm trying to make sure that I'm covering my head with the rug, and he's spraying at my feet and I'm trying to push them down into the settee. And then I accidentally look up to see what's going on, and I look up over and he starts spraying it at my face and it goes into my mouth and starts choking me, and then I wake up screaming. And I actually woke up screaming in the module. It was a very strange experience.
Weird.
To do with the prank that James and I pulled last night. Nothing. I don't know.
I don't know if it's anything to do with the feeling of suffocation at a 12-hour edit trying to make something good.
Hey, something was already good. You were just chipping away at all the excess.
No, what was happening was the levels were wrong, the audio was wrong. I was too quiet, Ben was too loud, and we couldn't really hear what I was saying.
Johnny, in many ways you're the sculptor of the show. We create the raw material, and you're the one that chips away till it becomes Michelangelo's David.
Well, you know, if art reflects life, then I understand why that would have such a small penis then.
Like, nobody's perfect.
No.
It turns out I'm depressed. When did that happen?
Yeah, man. I was depressed earlier. I got lost in Newton Abbey. I was aiming for North Belfast.
It happens when you misconfigure the projection chamber, you know?
Yeah, I had no idea. Something went wrong with the transmission and my foot just jammed down and I couldn't stop the car. I ended up like twice the distance I was supposed to go. Weird. So that was going nowhere. Hello.
You obviously survived your ordeal in Newton Abbey.
Almost. In Newton Abbey,
almost? What, are you talking from beyond the grave? Like, I almost made it out, but I'm dead.
Mystic Mandy scared the shit out of me and I came back to life. No, that doesn't make sense.
Demons!
Yeah, Newton Abbey, all the road signs have arrows on them, but no place names. None. Anyway, that's my rant over. I was going to rant for a longer time, but I can't be bothered.
Okay. I once had a nightmare that it was Super Mario, and I went to a castle, and then they opened the sack, and then the mushroom popped out, and he said, Princess, another castle. And then no matter how many castles I went to, she just wasn't there, and then I ended up just going mental and killing the mushroom person.
Is that not just Super Mario?
No, eventually you're meant to reach a princess, but apparently no matter what I did, I couldn't find her.
Oh, so it was just a continuous, fruitless journey in the descent of madness?
Yes.
Hmm. Oh. Well, that would be a good plot for the next Super Mario's game. I mean, they need to go somewhere with it.
Yes, how many mushrooms do you find before you go mental?
Mario, like, it just loops over and over again, you know? Slight variations in every map, and never get to where you're supposed to go, you know?
My turn. I've had a dream where Johnny is chasing me through a geometrically impossible landscape, and he always catches me because I'm too busy looking at the scenery. And then I wake up.
I finally caught up with you, Ben. Time to die. But it's just so impossible.
Yes, that's almost verbatim how it goes.
Oh, dear. Oh, yeah, Ben.
He's wearing a trench coat.
I mean, other than all the nightmares we experience in our day-to-day lives, I did have a very good customer service experience from eBay this week.
Yay!
I'm like, it was beyond normal customer service. It was lovely. I'm not saying there was a happy ending or anything, but it was good. It's my nanny and granddad's 70th wedding anniversary next month.
Oh.
And it's difficult in general to find a card for a 70th wedding anniversary. There's not too
many. I can imagine so.
Yeah, there's not too many of them about. So I went around on eBay to look for cards of this nature and I found two. I bought one for myself and one for my mum. And I'll link to the page for them in the show notes. But they're very nice and they're personalized. You know, you can write in your own message, what you want on the front and the inside of the card. It's a nice idea. Someone being creative and stuff. I decided to use the interconnectedness of the internet, and there was a link to your Facebook page and a Twitter profile for the creator of the cards, and I sent a wee message over to the person who made the cards saying, just wanted to say, those cards are really lovely, it's quite nice. And then what ended up happening was, I bought two cards separately and paid for two postage, and she sent back a message saying, you've accidentally double paid for postage. I'm going to post them both in the same envelope and I'll refund one of your pound coins back, so that you don't have to worry about, the extra cost. And she also told me about the telegram service from the Queen, about how you can send off a copy of a marriage certificate of the couple and the Queen will send a telegram in her name to them just to say congratulations. And it was unrequired additional service, but I have to sort of highlight it and say it was very good. So I'm just going to mention the name of that shop and the Twitter profile.
That's lovely.
But it's interesting that the internet is so interconnected that you can find the person who's making you the product that you're going to buy and you can talk to them directly and have an interaction, you know?
I'm sure she appreciated the sort of contact. You know, a lot of times you don't hear a lot of praise for a lot of the work you do, so it must be nice.
She said it was nice to put a face to your name.
And then you went too far and sent her a picture of your penis?
No. I did start following her on Twitter, though.
Okay.
Did you change your profile picture?
No, I don't. My profile picture isn't bad. If anybody wants to see it, it's at Intertree. I'm just going to send a quick... If you look in the console chat window, Ben and James, you will see a link to the Twitter profile of the girl who made the cards.
How do you pronounce that?
Well, her name's Emma. But that she's written her name is at Emmatha.
Okay.
I mean, yes, it was a good customer service experience and it's all very enjoyable. And the name of the company that she runs to make these things is Wyatt Weddings of Windsor. Nice bit of alliteration there. But at the same time, it is a bit of a benefit that she is such an attractive creator of cards.
Did you mean a creator of attractive cards? Oh, no, you didn't.
James, what's your opinion there?
Oh, there it is. Emotha? Mm-hmm. She is very pretty.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be sexist in any way. I mean, after we just had our whole rant about Samsung.
Well, I thought it was a good job, Toots, making your pretty cards.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you be making my dinner?
Actually, she does have a tweet about that. She says that she's not very good at making dinner or things like that. I'll send you that tweet. She tried to make toast and failed miserably.
Well, I'm great at making toast and scrambled eggs. I love scrambled eggs. Oh, there you go. You're like her most recent tweet.
Yeah.
There we go.
Here's her attempt at making toast.
Pardon?
In the console chat.
Oh, wow. Hopefully your cards are okay.
No, they've come. I didn't want to cover the topic of the very nice, lovely cards until I actually had them in my hand. And they arrived this morning, so I'm very pleased. It's difficult to, you know, airmail and trying to find us, and, you know, you don't know if things are going to actually get through to the station. But it all docked rather well, and I was able to get the cards. I don't know how I'm going to send them back down to the planet, though. I'll probably have to get...
Hold them up in paper airplane.
No, I'll probably have to get Paul to take the shuttle down for us. Her tweet about that toast is, proof that not all women belong in the kitchen.
From my experience, a lot of women don't.
You're a budding young cook yourself, aren't you, James?
Oh, I've been known to rustle up some meals from time to time. I like to think of myself as a cook, but never can really bring myself to cook anything.
I've seen people comment on some of the photographs you've put up on Facebook of your creations.
That was actually quite nice. I made some honey marinated pork. Damn. Honey and soy sauce marinated pork.
I mean,
a bit of rocket on a bread of mashed potatoes.
I mean, it's nothing like the grandiose creation of a cosmic stress head.
Oh, yes, I haven't created anything yet, have I? I was trying to obtain some of the materials required to create something earlier on, and that's when I overshot my mark and ended up in where the signs have no name.
Where the signs have no name.
Streets, with streets.
Oh, well, maybe that's what he meant.
Me.
That's what he meant.
I've taken photographs at night in Bangor where the names haven't shown up on the signs. It's quite funny.
I don't think that's the same as the streets having no names.
No, but it looks like the signs just... Oh, yeah. Shut up.
So, nanoparticles made from bee venom kill HIV?
Wow!
Yeah, it's pretty interesting sounding, isn't it? I actually read that about 3 weeks ago and have forgotten everything about it.
Earlier this week, we reported on the remarkable news that a Mississippi-born baby was cured of HIV. Now, as if to show disease that its days are truly numbered, researchers from Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis have shown that nanoparticles infused with a toxic bee venom can kill HIV. The researchers hope to take this new compound and developed a vaginal gel that can prevent the further spread of the disease.
Wow, that's gonna make
sex a whole lot more relaxed.
Yeah, sorry, one second. Any break in the foreplay is always a bit jarring because you sort of get in the mood and then you have this foreplay and anything like that. Now it's just like another obstacle because there's always the comedic moment where the condom had to come out of the side drawer and had to go on, and that was always quite funny, and that was always a sort of jarring break in it. And now there'll be a whole sort of gel issue.
Isn't there sometimes a gel issue though already?
You can make it fun, but how do you make your bee venom based vaginal gel sexy?
I don't know, maybe you spice it up.
Strawberry flavoured bee venom?
Could be. Or you could have like a nice little picture of a bee on the side.
The key to this discovery, which was made by Samuel A. Wicklin and his team in Washington University, involves cytolic melatonin peptides. Melatonin is found in bee venom and has a fortuitous trait of being able to degrade the protective envelope that surrounds HIV.
So it literally melts that son of a bitch?
It melts that son bitch's face off.
I'm melting.
What a world! What a world!
Which brings me, well, not brings me, it just makes me realize how little I don't want to see that new Wizard of Oz movie.
Oh, I want to see that.
You can take Eric if you want.
Me?
If he wants me to go.
Fuck, I'll go, yeah, that's fine.
I'm not sure if I want to, yeah, I do want to see it, but yeah, come along.
No, you don't. You don't want to see it.
You don't want to see it at all.
You're just afraid of what might happen if I go.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've...
how much trouble do you get into in the cinema?
When I'm with my best friend's girlfriend, who knows?
Dare? I ain't touching that one with a barge.
That's what she said. Which is why nothing's going to happen.
I didn't know that she should have that.
I love the fact that the only thing stopping you from jumping on that is her repulsion of you.
I think that's the case with most women.
No, but it was just like, well, if I didn't repulse her so much, I'd steal my best friend's girlfriend in a second.
I don't think it's a moral quandary. It's more of a practical one.
It's not an off-sided reason, is it?
Well, I mean, people who try and do that sort of thing, the sort of amoral characters that will try and creep up on people's existing love interests, they tend to be more attractive people than me. So maybe that's why I'm not moral. Maybe it's because of my lack of attractiveness that I've developed a huge sense of moral values.
I would actually counter-argue that, Johnny.
How so?
Well, I would say that people that you choose that form of method of ensnaring a young lady generally are strong enough people that they can just go up to bars and just ask and things like that. They seem to be sort of slimy individuals that have to work on the fact that they basically live to slowly sabotage the existing relationship.
Hmm. So what you're saying is being perfectly willing to go and see a film about The Wizard of Oz might be a good start?
Well, if I were to go that route, we'll tip people we know out of it.
Okay, okay.
Eric before going there. But if it is from my experience that wouldn't be a bad method.
From your experience? No, you're not.
I'm not saying from a negative point of view, but we've all at some stage been enamored with a young lady that was in a relationship and sort of maybe stuck around in that sort of situation in the hope that the relationship would dissolve and she would see that the person she should be with is the person that's always been nice to her and has stuck with her through all her problems, thick and thin, and like that. I think we've all been in that situation.
But aren't you at that point in the friend zone, as it's commonly called?
Yeah, but you don't see it.
No, you never do.
You never do see it. And, you know, and I don't know. I guess in many ways that's... I don't want to sound scummy, but in many ways that's sort of always been my play.
It was.
Not necessarily to break up a relationship, but just happens that the girl I liked has, at some stage in my knowing of her, been in a relationship. And I maybe haven't been as respectful as that as I should have.
Well, the creator of these 70th anniversary cards is in a more than 2-year relationship. Maybe we should try some of these ideas.
You're not supposed to forewarn her, Johnny.
Oh, shit. Well, I'm assuming she's not going to listen to this show.
It looks like on Twitter that you've told her you're going to mention her, so maybe she will.
Maybe she will. Maybe this is all part of a double bluff. Maybe I'm revealing my plans in a way to see if the plans themselves will work out.
She does seem like quite a pleasant person. She may have stopped listening after Freddie cut in.
Yeah, it's possible. I wanted to bring up that review of the cards a bit sooner in the program, but...
Then she's not for you then, Johnny.
Yeah, exactly. If she can't handle my descent into madness with an argument against a character created out of my own subconscious,
then stay in your already happy relationship, see if I care.
She can't listen to the podcast, and she definitely can't go out with you. You can't have the podcast being like your dirty secret.
I just wanted to edit. Just five minutes. I wanted to play with the levels.
That's what you were out with your friends again, Jonathan.
Yes, I was. I'm a heavily active social character. It's got nothing to do with my tendency to be locked up in a small module editing audio recordings from a week's discussion with the two friends that I live with on a space station 3.4 miles above the surface of the Earth in some sort of fictional landscape that doesn't have any real reference to reality.
Look, to be fair, I don't know. If I was in a relationship tomorrow, I don't think I would sort of immediately drop in the podcasting. I think I would sort of ease it in there, because you can't put all your crazy on the plate. You sort of have to break in the crazy. And trying to explain this to all the some person in one session would be a lot to take in.
Well, if you outline the plot, certainly.
I mean, it's fair enough saying, I record a podcast with my friends, but if you go into the in-depth of it, it's like, yeah, the idea is that we're all on a space station. And whenever we talk about work, we you know, and it's not even a functional space station. It's held in the sky by magic. Because we haven't really decided how it's still up there.
Yeah.
Because it's not high enough for orbit.
It's more of a sky.
Due to a horrible misunderstanding on my part about how far you had to be away from the planet for it to actually obtain orbit. Because apparently 3.4 miles isn't quite high enough.
No. 3.4 miles is sort of Avengers territory, you know?
But when we reach episode 50, I'll reveal that I've known all along why it's happening. And then you can kick me off the station.
You know, we'll just come up with some sort of half-assed Doctor Who reason for it, where it's like, ah, love.
And a box of spare sonic screwdrivers.
You know, that's how we beat the destruction of the universe. You're the little girl that waited. That's it.
Yes.
That's our explanation for it. You slept below a crack in the universe, and that's why you're special somehow.
When you think about it, we are almost better writers than that.
Isn't that how the Buddha came into existence? Oh, no. No, never mind.
Or we just go all Battlestar Galactica and just say that Jesus did it. It's all God's plan. Just shitting over all the idea that it's all science fiction. No, it's all God.
I just heard that...
It's where Starbucks just came back out of nowhere.
Yeah, somebody said recently that the original Battlestar Galactica, or maybe it was the modern one, was based on Mormonism somehow.
I don't know how.
I don't know how either. More next week, perhaps.
Well, do some research, Ben. Get back to this. Yeah, good idea.
I will. I'll put my science skills to the fore. I'm reading the plot summary for Oz the Great and Powerful this year.
It's a prequel?
I think I might watch it, you know. Having read it now, I realised that Erica did convince me that I wanted to go and see it, and somehow I forgot. I think Newton Abbott...
Can you be convinced of something if you can forget it, though?
I think it's retcon, James. I think he's just trying to recreate reality in a way that's more suitable for the way it should be in order to prevent my dastardly plans.
No.
You definitely have to just get a seat, watch Erica listen to this podcast, just to see the array of emotion.
I'll watch her on a live camera feed from a bunker.
Who loves you, baby? Who loves you? Your uncle.
No, it's not too late, Ben.
Your uncle loves you.
It's not too late, Ben, for you to salvage this entire situation by telling Johnny that that's your woman. Just get all...
That's my woman, fool.
Just get all email.
Yeah,
like, grow, stay away from my woman.
Grow a pair, science officer. Get out there, you know.
Oh, gotcha.
Be a real man. Take me down. Down to the river to pray.
Give him one, two.
I'll take
maybe
you down
three.
To the river to pray. That'll show you.
I'll show me right and good.
Oh, dear. Several things that Erica won't really like about this podcast.
It could be worse. At least we're not abducting her and taking her to Mars, where she would become, like, the mother to our new Martian people. Use her for all our repopulation needs.
The one thing we haven't...
a colony in Mars.
The one thing we haven't really covered is that Ben is now going out with our ship's computer.
The less said about
and
mechanics.
And it's like, keep telling him that's not what the USB port's for.
I'm like, always using the USB port. There's a big hole in the front where the floppy drive used to be. Nobody uses floppy drives anymore. You can edit this out as well.
I think there need to be more hard disks. That's what she said anyway.
Just remember to eject the device before pulling out. Windows doesn't like it if you just pull it out.
Well, we replaced the word Windows with Erica.
Ba-dum.
Ba-dum. Bum-ba-dum.
Drivers haven't been detected. Would you like to search the internet?
Warning, you have not installed protection.
Just make sure to deactivate the firewall here. That's quite sore.
There's none of this going on while she's lobotomized. That's unethical.
You need to have listened to last week's show to get that.
Oh, I ran off, yeah.
But we'll leave James's laugh, because he laughed in appropriate fashion. I think it's time to wrap up the show.
Yes, I think that is an appropriate time to wrap up the show.
Just one final thing, so we're not...
Yeah,
making...
that was a good segue. We're talking about wrapping up Ben's tool. We'll just wrap up the show.
I think just to not end on that topic, I have one little thing. Just a quick utility that you might be interested in there, James. Something that fixes Windows 8.
Is it Windows 7?
No.
Windows 9?
Well, Windows 9 will, I'm sure. But while we're in the territory of Windows 8, there is a utility that exists called Modern Mix for Windows 8. It's from Stardock. And what it allows you to do is, you know the way there's full screen applications in Windows 8?
Yeah.
It allows you to make them into windowed applications on the desktop, and it allows you to make them show up on the taskbar, and it allows you to pin them to the taskbar for future use.
It should have just been stuff that Microsoft did from the start. I'd just be happy if they just re-added the start bar.
Well, no, it's not so bad. I think having that taskbar mixed in with the start screen makes the sort of jarring effect of jumping back and forth lessened quite a bit. It actually made me use the modern apps a lot more. So, give it a go.
I will do. Anything that, because there's a lot of stuff there that seems really interesting that I can't use because it's really annoying. Would it really kill them to reintroduce the start bar though?
It's about a new generation of users. It's about trying to break from previous forms, you know?
I know, but, you know, just let me have my start bar.
Well, you can bring that back as well. There are utilities on Stardock website to bring back the start menu.
See, that would be quite handy.
Well, you could look that up as well.
Because, you know what? I liked Windows the way it was.
That's what I said about Windows 3.1.
The brand of life to the listeners' ears. The brand of the